I'm Getan Alam. I work as cataloging and metadata librarian at Solent University in Southampton. I started working there since November 2014 after completing my research PhD at Portsmouth University. And just to give you a context, when I use a ground theory method because I argued that we have new areas of users, you know, trying to create keywords, etc., in foxonomies. So there were these new areas, and we have traditional, I trained as a librarian, we had the cataloging, technical services, the standards, and I thought we just to go out, ask librarians, metadata people, people who work in kind of metadata, but they're not librarians, the students, lecturers, and I argued for to use a grounded theory method instead of, you know, a hypothesis, an existing theory. So I struggled a bit about that because the professor said just start from a theory and test that theory. And I argued there is no really theory that explains what I'm going to do, what's happening. So that, and then I convinced that. So I used a grounded theory because it's not an easy method to start with, especially when you are a young researcher. And by just take it 4 years through the PhD, and my supervisor said, just so your PhD is just two words, enriching and filtering. I said, yes, this is, those are the two words, but of course, those are concepts within them. There are various other concepts, sub-concepts, etc. So, why metadata? So today I would like to just highlight on why we create metadata, but also go on explaining what are the principles that I think are emerging, and also how our users actually are using, and how we catalog at Solent University Library, trying to improve, enhance our discoverability. So the reason for metadata is, of course, we have information objects, we have resources to categorize, organize, make sense, make them kind of organize them for our users. So whether you are a small library or a big library, whether you are a digital library, or like something like an European aggregator, we of course need metadata. Oh, this is David Weinberger. I actually interviewed him for my research. He argues that, you know, we metadata liberates knowledge. This is our library. We are a small size, medium size university with a very community-based university, and we have, you know, print and electronic collections, but we see this pattern that while we started very low in terms of digital resources, but it's getting higher and higher every year. And we have, of course, we are cutting on kind of each print journals, but we have e-journals to complement that. So there's this pattern, and especially in terms of budget. My manager says, he's the acquisitions librarian, says it's 80-20, 80-30%. So that seems to be the pattern. And why metadata? I just picked the East Coast kind of summary of the purpose. That's knowledge organization. That's also using classification, indexing, taxonomies, data mining, and this new emerging approach of linked data. And just I tie that with the cataloging, bibliographic principles since the beginning of libraries. The tools, the standards, the systems that we use in libraries. In my research, these were like the existing metadata principles developed by librarians over the years. Suvonines wrote his Intellectual Foundation of Information Organization, a very good book. IFLA also takes that up. And these are the kind of principles which libraries have been using. I'll come to that a little later on. But of course, we have Ranganathan, you know, the principle of user convenience. The books are for use, and every book, its reader, etc. So, again, standards, they are wonderful tools. They organize, they help us make sense of that, you know, information, objects, books, etc. in libraries. They have this structure, that depth, that breadth, that granularity. Mostly they are experts-based, and most of us in this room probably are coming from the more experts-based approach, a more standardized, authoritative, top-down approach. And of course, we are always considering users, but our systems probably are more user-centered rather than user-driven. The users are not driving it. It's a catalogers, but we have focus groups, we do surveys, we try to gather what the users want, so I argue that's more user-centered, not probably user-driven. So that's, the users are mostly there to use whatever system we designed, implemented, put in place. There are some challenges in that area, so that's, especially with young people, like I work in a university where we have 19, 20 year olds, they have their own terminologies. When they come to the library catalog, the way they search and the way they discover information, so the argument is there is some disparity. It has been researched elsewhere as well. And of course, metadata is, because it's a social construct, it's influenced by language, culture, experience, academic background, all those factors play in metadata. So those are standards-based approaches. And the second part I looked at was more user-generated approach. So what are they? What are these social tagging, foxonomies, user-driven approach, especially implemented by more commercial kind of applications like Flickr or Library Thing and the like. And I looked at that in terms of literature, but also I looked at that in terms of, you know, what do you think? I asked librarians, users, and the like. So it's more this kind of users as contributors, as co-creators of the metadata. Taking back, for example, to early times before Web 2.0, Paul Otelet talks about the social space of documents. So Paul Otelet is a Belgian knowledge organization expert and documentalist. He argued the catalog takes you up as far as where the book is, not further. So what other people say about that book, that information resource? So that's the kind of social space of books that is missing. So in this case, this library thing, it's one book, but it's surrounded by all this metadata. Of course, one might argue you don't always present this for the user and as this screen. This is just, it allows you to create reviews, tags, add your favorite books, and then it collocates it in terms of, you know, similar related books here. Library Thing is one of those examples where it's a more user-driven approach. And then in the end, it just comes together. I didn't, you know, start saying I'm going to have a mixed metadata approach. It's just what's missing in the standards is complemented by this new approach. What's missing in the Web 2.0, the foxonomy approach, is complemented by the standards. It's that you could actually bring them together. So that's the kind of argument I made. And of course, I mentioned about those standards-based principles, like the principle of metadata simplicity, because simplicity is, of course, it had been about the metadata itself, the simplicity. Librarians, catalogers have always been calling for, you know, make it simple so that it can go nicely on the catalog, of course, and on printed bibliographies. But also simple for the user, simple for the librarians. But that simplicity is now, arguably, I say, actually, because of some of the limitations are obviated, are eliminated now, at least in terms of space, for example, storage space, I argued for metadata enriching. Metadata enriching basically says, have as much metadata as possible. I mean, I know many people would argue against this. Have as much metadata from the users, including user terminology, user vocabularies. And then you have also the experts-based metadata, the catalogers-based metadata. And I'll come to that later on. With the enriching, so enrich, filter, as much metadata, it benefits the users to access, to discover, because that's what, we're not as librarians, as, you know, taxonomy experts, I would argue, we're not there to kind of arbiter truths, we are there to make things accessible, it's up to the user to make sense and to do that level of, you know, truth finding. It doesn't mean anything goes, but it's about making sure users' terminologies are actually incorporated. So that's metadata enriching. The second principle that came from this ground theory is link it with internal sources, the metadata itself, link it to the resource, link it to external sources. And of course now this is enriching, this is linking. So the next level will be about the applications, the technologies, the systems to link, to interlink and to cross link and make those cross references. That then comes, you know, the new probably approach of linked data and the like. And the other aspect that's especially related to linking is metadata openness. Again, you have seen this elsewhere in terms of data, for example. So that's the principle that came from this grounded research. People always talk about how do you link it if it's not available elsewhere. So you need some kind of principle that guides other people to make their data open. So that's openness. So that's why instead of focusing on the applications and technologies, I focus on these conceptual kind of categories, conceptual principles, and these four principles just came up. And the fourth one is metadata filtering. Just link them in a kind of model. So you have the user and the expert. The standards-based approach, the metadata experts providing this basic structure, the kind of taxonomy which they have built over the years, you know, in libraries, and you have the metadata experts again describing these books in terms of bibliographic information, and you have the experts, the users. That could be a lecturer, that could be in terms of academic libraries, that could be a student enriching this content. So enriching could be by the expert, by the user, and interlink it, open it. So that's why these two concepts, enriching and filtering, as a kind of an emerging materials. So now, I started working at Solent. So how do I apply this principles? Of course, the challenge is the systems are not always designed in such a way that students can actually directly contribute metadata. Even when systems are designed in such a way to allow users to contribute metadata, we have these policies, you know, how whether students are allowed to do that. So we have arguments, we have discussions. We haven't really fully implemented in terms of, you know, whether students are allowed to tag a book, add their keywords. But nonetheless, I try to with my small team, we're three. In the cataloging and metadata team, we try to incorporate some of the terminologies. So we go beyond Library of Congress. We go beyond what could be described in terms of authoritative subject headings, and we have kind of Solent keywords. So this is the library management system which allows us to link both the traditional. The more conventional systems like Library of Congress or anything, these are the taxonomies, the systems we could link. So this sit not in our library, they sit, for example, at the Library of Congress, or at the British Library, or anywhere. So we have now the ability, because system developers are doing this, so we have a new system, and in this new system, it's actually embedded behind the scenes. We can link it to the Library of Congress subject headings. So that means when I type metadata, I could just press a key, search it through the Library of Congress, bring this a hierarchy which says knowledge organization, and then probably, you know, metadata. And if they change something, if they add a kind of broader term, narrower term, it's there in my system, is allowing students to discover, to find. So that means if you develop a taxonomy, we could actually link it. Of course, this is again behind the scenes what we do, myself and my colleague, the systems librarian, is whether to index a field or not. Which field is to index? Of course, the title, author, the keywords are indexed. But what about the other keywords, language, for example, but there are also fields we don't index. For example, page number, we don't index it, but this system allows you behind the scenes to just check, and also to index it, where to index it. Is it in the simple search? Is it in the advanced search? Where to allow that indexing to search? This is behind the scenes is due to decimal classification. And what we do is some people argue that, you know, we don't need Dewey decimal classification because we use Dewey for electronic books, for e-books. Of course, in our case, we need Dewey to classify an e-book because then it brings together in terms of these related books. So of course, we could choose another index to link this, but this is the way we link related books together. Print books, electronic books. We implemented a standard called resource description and access RDA. Again, we self-trained ourselves, we subscribed to the RDA toolkit. We use that to allow a more enriched metadata, because the idea is, of course, RDA allows you to include as many access points as possible. Like, you know, traditionally, if you have in ACR2, if you have four authors, just say et al, not, you can't list them all. So again, the argument is, of course, that's borrowed from, that limitation came from the traditional print-based card catalog. We don't have limitations to include as many as 10 authors now. If I have the time, I add all the 10 authors. And I have this principle of enriching whenever, you know, we do that cataloging. If I have the time, I try to include as many access points as possible. So that's it. And of course, Ferber is grouping of related editions and related versions of works. And we had a very old catalog system. So the records are created with using the old ACR2 standard. We had challenges because some of the data interval had this inconsistency. For example, you can see these are the author names. It's referring the same author, but then it doesn't work for Ferber. Ferber, as it says, organize related books together by, for example, if it's the same title and if it's the same author. And in that order, if it's a date of birth, date of death, it should be very specific, it's consistent. So you have that metadata quality, where we need to check and we need to make consistent. So we did correct some of the data. We go back and retrospective update some of the old data. So that's a constant, you know, improvement. That's a constant kind of enriching our data, making sure it's consistent, making sure it's the quality is also assured. Of course, even now, I just copied this, you know, recently. Even now, our field in the publication field has all these consistencies. If we want to spend all the time, so we need probably some automated mechanism to ensure that, you know, if it's referring a book published in Abingdon and use RDA standard says don't, you know, include, not don't abbreviate, so it says, so you have to make those consistent. So this is true for every book, every field, not just the publication, place of publication here. If I click on the publisher, it's the same. Is it Routledge Limited? Is it limited? So is it Inc. Incorporated, etc. So it's all those inconsistencies. So people think that, you know, oh, metadata cataloging is just, you know, just copy from somewhere. But actually it's a constant struggle to make sure this is consistent so that librarians come back and say, it might be a business librarian saying, oh, but these books are not displayed together because you say you have Ferber, you are grouping together. So we receive emails like that. So we need to make sure. So enriching again. This is a book which talks about Vladimir Putin, and it talks about Litvinenko a lot. This guy who was poisoned in London. And if we didn't include the table of contents, if the students researching this person, they wouldn't find it. So again, how do you make sure this book is actually retrievable when students search for not just Vladimir Putin or something else, but actually this person? So again, the immediate solution we did was just to include the table of contents, because it's in the table of contents. Because again, I have that idea of enriching, even if it's not perfect, just make sure this book is findable by the user. So that's the argument. And that, so I'm here to say that actually works. Again, the same for this Costa Concordia ship, which, you know, the book says corporate manslaughter in maritime and aviation industries. And we searched this book without these keywords, you couldn't find it. But students actually doing research on this Costa Concordia, they could find it. So that's a print book. There are also ebooks and other resources. So this is the way we try to enrich our catalog. Of course, the principle of linking. So as I mentioned, we link to external sources, to Library of Congress and OCLC the British Library, especially the free catalogs out there. We link to the to search for whether it's an author field to make sure that we have a kind of authority controlled author name or a subject keyword. So once we do that, we actually could have a kind of automatic link data. I mean, it's not pure link data, but these are the links that actually came by making sure we use a consistent fields, and it's a new system allows us to have the links together, and if we want to display it, it's actually links to the author and the other works of the author, etc. Another area we are exploring is BibFrame. Again, we haven't implemented it in our library, but we try to look around, try to train ourselves and explore our options to kind of going to that route as well, because the MARC standard is a bit limited. So coming back to filtering, so we enrich the metadata as much as possible with keywords and linking, and then the idea of filtering. Filtering is presenting to the user in a way that is user friendly and user accessible. Now, how do users search? This is how they search. In the background, they use simple search over advanced search. And this is the gap. So the next challenge is, how are we going to make sure users actually, you know, get as much discoverability through the simple search? Of course, what keywords they use? They use mostly this kind of keywords, like, you know, the research method is number one. So yeah, Brexit is number 21. The kind of keywords you could see. And the word, in terms of word count, how do they search? They mostly enter two words together, research methods. So that's a kind of, so again, it tells you something about the user behavior, how does they search. That corresponds to actually search count, word count by, the wide web, Google and others. This is research done in 2017 by Statista. Of course, it's single user, single word that comes first here. But nonetheless, you see, you know, as we go to 10 words, it's very limited. Facets, again, students use those, that metadata that we use, it sits there to be a facet on the right side, and we can have access to that as well. So that's facet research. So in general, we argue, you know, I argue, keep the metadata enriched, keep the interface simple, keep users happy, and increase discoverability and maximize usage and impact. And I argue again, the future of metadata is enriched, linked, open and filtered, and you have various ways of, you know, technology applications to make sure resources are findable, accessible and discoverable. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gaetano. We have a few minutes for questions, so if anybody has any questions or any points that they'd like to follow up, then please.
Just a quick question. On the table of contents, I think that's a great way to search, but do you use DC term subjects, or how do you kind of implement that?
It's simply, you know, if it's an ebook, for example, there's a table of contents, we just copy and paste in a field, which is table of contents, and we ask it to the system librarian to index those keywords. So it's a free text kind of in the background. So we haven't used any kind of structure in that table of contents. It's just copy the table of contents.
Will that auto-complete then? if you go into the search.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the way I find lots of people searching these days, and the way I search is I'll start typing something, and then I want the computer to give me the answer.
That's true. Because, for example, in that table of contents, one of the names probably is not very, you know, for me, for example, it's not easy to type, you know, let it vinco, and then you start typing, it should come.
I thought you raised some interesting points, and you talked particularly quite persuasively about the benefits of user enriching the metadata themselves and so on. Obviously, that leads to many problems of language control and inconsistency of retrieval. How do you deal with that? Is there a particular approach that you have to that?
So the thing is, we haven't implemented, you know, the Web 2.0 directly in our catalog. There is a feature, but because the argument is most students do not use it, so just hide it. But once we implement it, if we implement it, there are other libraries, other systems who use it. You can actually structure it in a way you can match, use the traditional structures of the library, including Tesaurus kind of links to make a contextual use of those keywords. Otherwise, because it's a free text and you know, unwieldy in terms of those keywords. So there is a technology, there is the experience done by other libraries as well.
Okay. So you're suggesting there's some kind of guidance to users when they start to index things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You made a really good point that experts, you know, control some forms of metadata, users can contribute some forms of metadata, but users should really be the primary focus when you think about how filters work. And I guess the challenge there is, how do you capture what the users want, given they're really bad at communicating just by saying one or two words? So how do you give them that power over what those filters are?
If the system is implemented there, so there are motivations for the... I think this is standard now, like the systems are designed not in a way that attracts user contribution, actually. Because if you see some of the commercial applications, they have some kind of incentive. Whether, you know, if someone reviews a book, their name is there, out there. So that's not in library catalogs yet. But once we have it there, we could actually capture the user terminologies by saying, these are the books if you allow students to refine the books that they read earlier, then you have that kind of incentive to allow students and other users to contribute.
I'd just like to say thank you once again.